family, Facebook family, online community, church family, whoever's viewing and watching this broadcast. Welcome to Triumph Word Christian Center. I'm Pastor Ed, and welcome to another service where we share the Word of God with you, and we'd ask you to sit back and prepare your hearts and minds to receive God's Word, and receive it as a, not as a, from a man, but receive it as God talking to you. And we also have opportunities, if you want to be a blessing to God and the kingdom of God and the gospel work here at Triumph Word Christian Center, you have an opportunity to give. You can text online at text the amount. You want to make sure you text the amount, the dollar amount, to this number, 210-941-1605. 210-941-1605. Or you can go to our website, and you can give. Secure, convenient, easy way is www.twcc-sa.org and then /give. And it'll take you right to the place where you can do your online giving. All your giving is safe and secure and convenient for you to use. Also, if you want to just connect with us or contact us for any reason, for if you got prayer requests or other things you want to contact us for, you can email us at connect@twcc-sa.org, or you can text a prayer request. You can text your prayer request to 210-941-3322. That's 210-941-3322. And we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to hear from you. You can text us at that number as well and just connect with us on a level of it. And thank you so much for following us on Facebook and joining us for this broadcast. Now, let's go before the Lord in prayer before we get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege and we thank you for the opportunity to come to receive your holy Word. We don't look at your Word as the Word from a man, but we look at your Word, the Word from of God, as God talking directly to us. And we thank you, Father God, that you will give us and grant unto us understanding of your Word, revelation of your Word. We thank you tonight that you will give us divine illumination, ideas, concepts, understandings that we haven't had before up to this time. And we thank you, Father, for anointing our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to both see clearly, hear with clarity, and receive with great understanding and comprehension your Word. And we thank you, Father, that Jesus is Lord of all. And we thank you that you will receive all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise for everything that's said tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's go into our Bibles, and we're going to continue what we shared on Sunday. You can go back to some of the broadcasts that we started from Sunday, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. But specifically, we're talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Sunday, we talked about the advantage. We have an advantage because of the purpose and power of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, we need to do not forget during this season, during this time, when things are so uncertain and things are so climactic and devastating in some sense depressing or disturbing during these seasons and times, we want to make sure that we don't forget what is most commonly forgotten, which is the forgotten God, the Holy Spirit. And so we have to realize and understand that the Holy Spirit is with us and he is in us. And so what's the purpose? What does he bring to the table? We have the third person, ladies and gentlemen, of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, but we have the Holy Spirit residing and living on the inside of our spirit. So we have the person of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that gives us an advantage during these dark and really devastating times that we live in. And, of course, we said on Monday night that we were created and anointed for such a time as this. And so you can check out our Monday night broadcast from Monday night, and we went a little further. But tonight we're going to talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit and its mantles and its measures and methods. And so we're kind of talking about some mechanical things and things that we can kind of break down into components or parts to understand more about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's pick it up with this thought in mind. When we think about the name of Jesus Christ, for most of the world, Christ, we said, is simply Jesus' last name or a title, so to speak. But that holds no weight or importance in people's mind when they only think of Jesus Christ, the word Christ, as Jesus' last name or a title. But yet it's so much more. So Christ, we said in the Greek, is a word that means anointed or anointing or the anointed one and his anointing. In the Hebrew, the Old Testament, the word Christ is the word Messiah. And that word means the same thing with power. And, of course, this word anoint or anointing is to anoint someone, means to pour, rub, or smear all over. And so what did God do? God poured and rubbed and smeared all over Jesus a supernatural ability to bring mankind back into relationship with him. Now let's look at the scripture. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. In other words, this scripture is telling us God anointed Jesus. He poured on him. He smeared on him. He rubbed on Jesus. This supernatural ability to bring mankind back into relationship with him. And this verse gives us some detail of what Jesus did as the anointed Savior of the world, and we thank God for that. We praise God for that. We thank Jesus for being the anointed one and is anointed. But it's so much more than that. Now let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 tells us the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus is talking, is upon me because he, the Lord God, his Father, has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised or oppressed, it says, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus was anointed in three prominent areas when it came into comes to relationship with mankind. He was anointed to prosper others, heal, and liberate. In other words, give freedom. How? Spiritual freedom, spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially. And you can throw in relationally if you want. And then secondly, he was to give sight, in other words, revelation. That's spiritual knowledge. That's advanced knowledge. That's higher knowledge. To remove oppression and depression, spiritual dullness, density, and darkness over people. And third, he was anointed to reclaim and restore and reinstate man's previous rights and authority over God's creation. In other words, he restored us back to the original blessing mandate, blessing and the dominion mandate. In other words, he gave that to Adam, but Adam turned it over to Satan when he fell into sin, and then Jesus came and got it back for us. Give a shout hallelujah if you're out there. That's good stuff. So like Jesus, though, friends, we have been completely, covered up with God's supernatural ability as well to accomplish only what God can do on us and through our lives as we yield to this anointing. In other words, God puts his super on our natural, causing us to perform supernatural exploits for his kingdom and for his purpose and calling. Isn't that wonderful? That's so good. So we must embrace the truth that we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. You can say that. I am anointed with the Holy Spirit. So we have been created and we have been anointed by God, the Lord, for such a time as this. And you say, well, this is a really rough time, Pastor Ed. This is a really bad time. But you were created and anointed for such a time as this. You were born at the right time for the right reason, and you're in the right place, and you're serving the right Lord and the right God, and you're here for such a time as this. You would not be here if God didn't think you could handle this season, this hour, this time, this day. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, talking about in Christ, are yes. And in him, in Christ, amen. That means God doesn't say no to his promises for those of us in Christ. And we often say it's better to be in Christ, and you look a whole lot better in Christ than you do outside of Christ. And if you're not in Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a born-again believer, we're going to lead you in a prayer at the end to accept Jesus and receive Jesus as your Lord and as your personal Savior. But he says to us that in him they are yes, in him they are amen, to the glory of God through us. Now look at verse 21. Now he who establishes us, that's one thing God with you in Christ, and has anointed us, is God. So you can say, I'm established in Christ. By God, I am anointed by God. And verse 22 says, who also has sealed us and has given us the Spirit in our hearts. Where is the Holy Spirit? In our hearts, in our spirits, in our born-again, recreated human spirit. We receive the person of the Holy Spirit at the new birth. We receive the power of the Holy Spirit at the infilling or baptism of the Holy Spirit. We receive the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So there is an anointing on us for service, and there is an anointing in us for specific situational and sudden things that you come against you. Things that you need to know, do, and work through in life. You know, when you get in those trauma or tragic situations and circumstances in your life, the anointing in you will rise up big within as you call upon it, as you yield to that anointing. There was a pretty well-known minister who had a granddaughter who got a severe case, a terminal situation, not very bleak and dark. She was laying in the hospital bed in a coma. And, of course, he went in to go pray for his granddaughter. But the Holy Spirit, everybody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in and told him, rose up in him and told him, don't put your hand on her. He said, just put your finger on her collarbone, so to speak, and talk to that anointing on the inside of her. And he talked to the anointing on his. He called for that anointing to come forth. Now she's in a coma. She's almost, you know, in a real critical. She's in a real critical state, basically. And then her eyes woke up and she looked at her papa and said, "Papa, in the name of Jesus, I am he." And she that anointing roared up in there like a lion and began to attack and resist that disease and that diagnosis that the doctor put with no fear. This girl, I believe she was 9 years old or somewhere around that age range, and she was able to repel that disease and that diagnosis in her physical body. Nothing can stop the anointing, because we said earlier in this week and Sunday that the anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. In Acts 1:8, it tells us, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the very ends of the earth. So we are anointed. We get this anointing and power of the Holy Spirit on you for service as a born-again believer and Christ follower. This is the you need power to serve God, because you're created to serve God. You're called to serve God. You are commanded to serve God. And until we get that right and understand that clearly, then life won't make sense to us. When you're going to work, you're serving God. When you're at home, you're serving God. When you're doing all things, you're doing it as unto the Lord. So you're serving God 24/7, 365. As a Christian believer, that's what we're called, created, and commanded to do. Now let's look at the anointing in us. 1 John 2:20 tells us, but you have received the anointing from the Holy One. What have we received? We received an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. That's powerful. That means know how, know what, know when, know where. You need the anointing for that. And then verse 27 says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Where does this anointing abide? In you. Everybody say, in me. In me. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. And it's true. And it is not a lie. Just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So this anointing and power of the Holy Spirit in you is in you for strength, for skill, for support, for specific knowledge, wisdom, and know-how, know what, know when, know where. Because you need direction in life. And that's a great need, to know what to do in every situation. That's what the anointing is there for. So, we've said this before. We're 1,000 times bigger and better on the inside than we are on the outside. 1 John 4:4 tells us that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So say it with me. I'm 1,000 times bigger and I'm 1,000 times better on the inside than the outside. Oh, hallelujah. And so we, friends, have to activate this anointing, because 1 John 4:17, the last half of the verse, we shared it earlier this week, that as he is, so are we in this world. As he is right now, as a resurrected King and Lord, Jesus Christ, so are we. Why? Because we're in him. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. In other words, we are in him. So we have to become in Christ conscious. We have to understand our in Christ applications. Because in Christ is not, Jesus' last name or just some simple title. Remember, we're in the anointed one and his anointing. So the same anointing that is on Jesus is on us. So think about that. Jesus, as Jesus is now, so are we in this world. So if he's anointed, then you and I are anointed. If he's victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and death, in just in a simple expression, sickness, disease, viruses, if Jesus is victorious over death, hell, and the grave, then so are we now. See, natural barriers, friends, do not apply to an individual who is aware and knowledgeable of the anointing, because the anointing makes things work. The anointing provides the victory. The anointing provides the knowledge, the know-how, the know-where, the know-what, to know when. The anointing makes things work. There's no barrier that, there's no mountain can stand in your way when you are anointed by our Father God. See, we access and activate the anointing in us by two things. Simple, acknowledging it by faith. Now, if you understand Jesus' ministry, he preached one message primarily when he went. He taught a lot of different things, but he preached one message. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. So in other words, he told the people he was anointed. And you and I have to acknowledge by faith that I am anointed. Now, say that with me. I am anointed. You have to believe it to receive it. So when you believe that you're anointed, you'll receive that anointing activated in your heart and life. If you're just serving in the church, let's say an usher, or you're doing sound and or media or some capacity, hospitality, for example, you step into that office, you have to acknowledge by faith that I am anointed. You activate that anointing, because without the anointing, life is hard and tasks are heavy laden. They are heavy laden. In other words, the anointing makes things easy and sweatless and seamless, so to speak. In other words, when you're not anointed, it's like playing football without your equipment or without your uniform. And you know, football players wear helmets, shoulder pads, cleats, whatever, and they run on that field and play, and they get hit and bang around, but it's protection. But see, without the anointing, life in ministry and living for Jesus and serving God is hard. It's heavy laden. It's burdensome because you don't have the anointing on. Second way you access and activate the anointing is appropriating it by faithful service. As you prepare yourself and pray and step into your office or assignment in life and ministry, faithfully, you will appropriate that anointing each and every time. In other words, we have to use what we've been given by the Lord and serve where we have been placed in the body of Christ by the Lord. Typically, it's the local church. So when you've been set, assigned, and appointed, it is where you are anointed. I'll say that again. Where you've been set, where you've been set by God, because God sets members in the body as it pleases him, not as we don't get to pick and choose. But God sets you in that church, sets you in that town, sets you in that place. Where he sets you, where he assigns you, where he appointed you, is where he anointed you. So how do we increase the anointing? Well, see, there is an anointing on you whether you recognize it or not. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're called to any office or any ministry, and you might have just the ministry of a born-again, spirit-filled parent at the moment, well, you're anointed to parent supernaturally, not just naturally, but supernaturally, to raise your children supernaturally. You might be in a volunteer at church, but you're anointed to help, to serve with excellence and with ease, because you've been anointed and appointed in that local church. See, whatever you've been called to do, wherever you've been placed, assigned, or appointed, and excuse me, whatever vision from God you've been set under determines the degree of or measure of your anointing. Now, here's some good keys to take away and receive and make note of. First of all, you can prepare yourself for this anointing. Say that with me. I can prepare myself for the anointing. Now, if you, as we shared and said before, you and I have been both created and anointed for such a time as this. So we're honored and privileged by the Lord to be a part of this last days and end of days army. Because God's not raising an audience, friends. He's raising an army. And part of your army unit's organization is your local church. And so we're end time church because this is the ends of, these are the end times. These are the last days. And so God waited to the last days to create you and anoint you for such a time as this. But we have to engage faithfully and commit to his calling and the Lord's causes, primarily through the local church, through preparation. We must understand that faith prepares. We often say faith gets ready. See, the time to be ready is not the time to get ready. But faith gets ready. That means you're always preparing to serve. You're not in a civilian organization in the kingdom of God or the body of Christ. We're called to serve. We're commanded to serve. We have to be ready. Secondly, if the anointing does not come upon you, it's because you didn't prepare yourself. We often say preparation is never lost time. Preparation in prayer, study, meditation in the word, plus your consecration and dedication of your heart and your life to the Lord. So you can't just fill up on the world and worldliness and perhaps even ungodliness and be prepared. You will be ill-prepared. And the anointing won't come upon you, and life and ministry will be hard and arduous and heavy laden. So you have to recognize that, hey, that thing was tough and rough. The burden was removed. The yoke wasn't destroyed. And that only gets done by the anointing. Number three, furthermore, the anointing can be increased. Thank God. See, you can increase the measure of your anointing by number two things, studying the word and being prayerful, praying. Prayer and minister the word are two key primary elements of increasing the anointing on your life. And you've heard me say, if you belong to this church, Triumphant Christian Center, we've said it before, leaders are readers and feeders, and so we have to read and study the Bible. The Bible even says in 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, I'm reading out the Amplified Classic Version, study to be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling, and skillfully teaching the word of truth. And so you have to study so you're never ashamed. You have to pray so you don't get up and just operate in the natural and with no anointing. So it's important to study. What are you doing? To be approved by God. As a worker, we're all workers in the body of Christ. We often say there's no unemployment in the body of Christ, but there are people who refuse to work. And see, part of the work is preparatory work, prep work. Prep work is study time, prayer time. Read your Bible, feed your Bible, meditate in the Word, read those good faith-filled books, listen to those faith-filled messages. Praise God, like this one, and spend time in prayer. The primary responsibility of a leader is prayer. It's hard to lead if you don't pray. Number four, the anointing is part of our protection and safety. The anointing is part of our protection and safety. Now, friends, look at these two verses. They're the same verse, the same saying, but two different accounts. One in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16:22. The Word of God is saying, Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Now, David is reciting this, because there came a time where he could reach out and touch or hurt or harm, at that time, King Saul. And when he even cut off a small part of his garment, his heart smote him. And said, and he told his followers and his groups that were egging him on, saying, kill him, kill him, kill him, get him, get him, get him. Because you have a right. You got him square in your sights. You can kill him, David. He said, no, I can't do this. I can't touch God's anointed and do his prophets no harm. Because he knew the concept. He knew the principle. In Psalms 105, verse 15, it says, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Now, you don't want to touch them. Don't touch people up with your words. Don't touch people up with your deeds of dishonor, disrespect. Because God protects his anointed people. That's why James even told us in James chapter 4, speak evil of no person. So when you anyone or anything who touches the Lord's anointed, in a sense, is signing their own death warrant. They're opening their door for death and destruction and perhaps even disease and devastation to come into their life. Why? Because you can't touch the anointing in a negative way and get away with it. But God protects his anointed. You are protected by being anointed. See, in the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit came upon three types of people. The prophet, the priest, and the king, to enable them to function in their respective offices. But the Holy Spirit wasn't in any of them during that dispensation or that period of time as he is in ours. And we have the advantage because we have the anointing in us and the anointing on us. Now let's look at some example of two individuals as we get ready to close this out, Elijah and Elisha, and look at some patterns and see if we can learn some lessons from them. I'm going to read out of my King James Bible here. I got a King James Amplified, but I'm going to read out of King James in 1 Kings chapter 19. Starting at verse 19, and it talks about how they got together, because God had told Elijah to anoint Elisha to be his replacement. In other words, he's going to anoint him to get him into a place where he was going to be his heir apparent, heir of his ministry. He's going to inherit his ministry. And so, verse 19, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing the 12 yoke of oxen. This was his business before him, and he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. Now, it was a little furry coat. It was just not a natural jacket, but that symbolized that he was going to anoint him to be his replacement. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, and he said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and let them, then I will follow thee. And he said to them, go back again, for what have I done to thee? In other words, he's telling me, hey, wait a minute, are you ready or not? You got to go back and tell everybody goodbye. But then look what Elijah did in verse 21. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh in the instruments of the oxen, and gave them to the people, and they did eat. And then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. In other words, he served him. Now some say it's around 12 to 14 years or somewhere in that range. He served the man of God. And we take it over to 2 Kings, chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 15 as well, and see Elijah's getting ready to go home. He's going to get taken up by a chariot, but he gives his last test to Elisha before he goes home. And let's look at this. And it came to pass that when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah was with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said to him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Now, that's a great statement. Because when you're faithful, you don't leave. You cleave. You know, one of the key attributes of God is faithful. And he expects his children to be faithful. That's what we get judged by. And, you know, Jesus said in the parable of talents, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so this is a test that Elijah was putting out for Elisha. He's telling him, stay here. Why don't you just stay here? Just stay at home. Chill out. You don't got to follow me. And he and Elijah came back, says, I as the Lord lives, and he lives forever, my soul lives, I will not leave you. Isn't that wonderful? So they went down to Bethel. Bethel is a type of the house of God. So you think about it, friends. Are you faithful to your house that God has set you in? That was the first test of his faithfulness. And then the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth from to Elijah and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Be quiet. Verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they came to Jericho. Now Jericho is a place of is called a fertile place. In other words, it's a place where big thinking grows, where spiritual growth occurs, where great fruitfulness abounds. So this is a test of growth, growth test as well, faithful to grow. And the sons of the prophets, verse 5, that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Verse 6, and Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray thee, for here, for the Lord has sent me. What does he test him? In every place, is he said, he's going to be faithful. Jordan. He sent me to Jordan. And he says, as the Lord liveth and my soul, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Verse 7, and 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off. Now, that's an interesting note because they weren't close. And we often say a lot of people want to study the man of God or study the move of God, but they don't want to serve. You got to get up close to serve. And, of course, he said they stood afar off in Jordan. And verse 8, then Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And so they divided hither and thither. That means the water split. And so they, too, went over on dry ground. And it came to pass that when they were gone over that, Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee. Because he proved him faithful. And he said, before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now he's asking for a double portion, ladies and gentlemen. And he said, thou hast asked for a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken away from thee, it shall be done so unto thee. And if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and he rent them into two pieces. And he took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood to the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him and smote the waters and says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Then the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jordan saw him and said, the spirit of Elijah does rest, Elijah's does rest on Elisha. And it came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. I love that story because there's a lot of different nuggets in it, but I want to key in on this concept or idea, how to get a mantle. See, this mantle acts, see, when Elijah was called a double portion, we could term it a double measure of the anointing to stand in that same office. He came along and finished out Elijah's ministry. And it's a beautiful picture of the ministry of two and succession. And it's recorded in the Bible that Elisha did twice as many miracles and works than Elijah, his mentor. So how to get a mantle? See, this mantle actually was a symbol of that particular office. It stood for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It was just not a jacket or a coat, or so to speak. It showed that the Holy Spirit was coming on Elijah, but it wasn't the actual anointing itself. See, the coat was not anointed. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And so the anointing will envelop an individual, and he or she will minister under the anointing that goes with whatever their office or ministry of God is. Now notice how closely Elisha followed Elijah. Elijah tried and purposely tested Elisha, just like at times the Lord tries and tests us purposefully. So he wanted to make sure that Elijah wanted to make sure that Elisha was made of the right stuff before this anointing came on him. See, by studying this story, we learn something about getting the anointing. First, Elijah stayed with Elijah. He didn't let the prophet out of his sight. What Elisha did, test Elisha, but what was the test? It was a faithfulness test. In other words, we often say, you have to be proven before you're promoted. So he wasn't testing his preaching or his sermon or his knowledge. You know, what Elisha did was basically pour water on his hands. He was washing his hands like they're telling us today, wash your hands. He was washing Elijah's hands. See, God will test our faithfulness as well. During the crucial and turbulent times, our Lord is looking for the faithful. He's not looking for the famous or the fast or the furious to stand up. He's looking for the faithful to stand up, to step up, and to rise up for him to anoint us with a new and fresh anointing for this of the Holy Spirit, for this hour, for this season, for this time. To expand his kingdom, what an opportunity for the church to rise up and step up and stand up tall under the anointing and the power of God. With our time, with our talent, with our treasure, and with our testimony. See, Elijah's faithfulness, just like us today, is broken down into four categories, as we often use the four T's. Time. He stayed and committed to Elijah. There was no quit in him. You know, one of the big attributes of faithfulness of God is he's always there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Leaving is physical. Forsaking is emotional or taking your heart away from somebody. So when you say, I'm faithful to you, then you're saying, I'm committed to stay with you forever, but I'm not going to take my heart away from you either. He was not backing down or cooling down on his engagement. people want to say, well, I'm a member here, or I go there, but are you engaged? Are you engaged with your time? And then a talent, he get to Bethel, and that was a fertile place. It was a place where Elijah grew, at where we grow in the fertile ground of our local church. In other words, growth is not accidental, friends. Growth is intentional. There's an intentionality to growth. That means we have to keep growing, even in this time. This is the best time to grow up in the Lord. If you're a singer, if you're a musician, this is the best time to grow in that singing anointing and that psalmist anointing, in that musician anointing. If you're in technical areas, this is a time to grow up in those anointings that God has placed on the inside of you and on you by the Holy Spirit. Because our growth helps the church grow. And then we look at treasure. He sold and gave away his business. I mean, he had 12 yoke of oxen. That's a lot of cattle. That was a big barbecue. And he forsook all of that stuff and followed and served Elijah for, again, estimated about 14 years. 14 years of washing that man's hands, bowing at his feet, serving the man of God, serving what was symbolized as the move of God. Some people want to be the man, but they don't want to serve any man. Be faithful with your talent and your treasure. He just didn't study, he served. The school of the prophets went to school and they studied, but they didn't serve. They didn't get the anointing. Then the testimony. He stayed with Elijah. Look at the words used in the scripture. He went to with Elijah. He stood with Elijah. He went over with Elijah. A testament and a testimony of his faithfulness. Then Elijah asked him, "What do you want?" And secondly, we see the same anointing on that same spirit will come by three things: association, environment, and influence. Association, environment, and influence. Now, lastly, as we close this down, and thank you so much for watching us this evening, yielding to the anointing. The more we yield to the Spirit of God and are taken over by him, the more results we will see. Friends, this is the key. You've got to yield to the anointing. You can't just do your job unanointed. You can't just serve in the church and serve in the community and serve at home unanointed. You have to yield to the anointing, because the anointing is God's super on your natural, poured out, smeared in, rubbed on you, so you can do supernatural exploits for God. See, demons take people over against their will and manifest themselves through them, but the Spirit of God will not do that against your will. So you can't be more yielded to the Spirit of God. Why can't we be more yielded to the Spirit of God? Well, good question. The number one reason, typically we're not conditioned or somewhat nervous about the realm of the Spirit. We're afraid sometimes of stepping out. You know, sometimes we have controlling mechanisms and mannerisms that cause us to always want to be in charge and in control. But you got to let the Spirit of God take control and let him take over. He's not going to hurt you or harm you. He just wants to manifest the anointing and the power of God on you and in you and through you. See, a lot of times we can't make this sort of sense of this, so we get scared or afraid, and we're afraid to, not like a fear of snakes or fear of a weather disaster like an earthquake or hurricane or something like that, or a virus, not that kind of fear, but your kind of holy fear, a holy reverential awe, and where you're just like, oh, man, this is unusual. I'm not familiar with this. And so that unction will then get either squandered or squished either in you or on you. See, the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. And he will not force or make you yield. He will prompt you in the inside to yield and give you, there's something I want to say. There's something I want to do. There's something I want you to step out in. There's something I want to reveal to you. But you have to give him permission. You have to give him the right of way. You have to give him the yieldedness. Now, one of the last scriptures I want to read is Romans 8:11. It says, "But the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside. If it dwells on he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you." In other words, the Spirit of God will quicken or come alive inside of you and on you for service. Or if you need support, strength, or whatever, that means, you know, we all ought to be looking for God to come down from heaven. Don't say, "God, come down and help me, come down and help me. Holy Spirit, come." He's right there on the inside of it. But you have to yield to him. You have to activate that anointing. And then there are occasions where you get special anointings added to you because of your faithfulness. My wife, my lovely wife, and I have, we had a unique anointing. We're praying for people that want to have babies. I don't know why we got that, but so far our record's 10 for 10, and we're waiting for the 11 for 11. But praise the Lord, it just seems how that we just got that. So if you want babies, you can come, or if you don't want babies, don't let us pray for you. Praise God, because you will get pregnant. Now in Acts 19:11, it says God wrought special miracles through the hands of Paul. And what does that mean? Special miracles. Now, Paul did not just manufacture this anointing. It was a special anointing. So they brought to him handkerchiefs and aprons, and they laid them on the bodies of the sick, and they laid them on those that were demonized or vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed and delivered. We did it one time with a young man who we prayed over a hat that's made of cloth and claimed this anointing, Acts 19:11 and 12, this special anointing, and that man put on a hat, came to the Lord recently, shortly after that, and was gotten out of trouble, at least for that time frame. There are special anointings, but they come with faithfulness. Jesus in John chapter 9, verse 7, and in Mark chapter 7, verse 35, Jesus had a spitting anointing. You might say, well, he had a spitting anointing. No, that means he spit and made spittle out of clay and anointed people's eyes, anointed a person's eyes. And then he was laying hands on somebody, and then he spit somewhere. And so I said, why is it spitting? Well, those are special anointings. Sometimes it's unusual like that. I was with a great minister who's gone home to be to heaven, and he'd lay hands on people, and sometimes that anointing would come on, and he wouldn't even lay hands on them normally or traditionally. He would wall back and push his fist and punch somebody that had a growth or a tumor or some sort of inside internal situation, and he would punch them, and it looked like he was hitting them, but he was hitting them under the anointing, and they were getting healed and delivered. Sometimes he would slap people. He'd walk around the corner of the auditorium, and he'd slap somebody. But it was under the anointing. What was he doing? He was transferring an anointing to them. So special anointings sometimes come with faithfulness. But in the gist of all of this, ladies and gentlemen, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there's a mantle to get, there's a measures to grow to, and there are methods that the Holy Spirit will lead you in for your particular office, assignment, and place of ministry. Whatever your role and responsibilities are in the kingdom, then you are anointed for that. And so I hope you got something out of that tonight. We're going to pray for those who want to say, well, this anointing stuff is very fascinating, Pastor Ed, but I don't know Jesus. I don't think there's no anointing anywhere near me in life. Well, you can receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you've been walking, straying away from the Lord, you can come back to Jesus. God wants you during this time and season to pull up real close to him and get real intimate with him. Get real connected. Stay with God, and he will always stay with you. So let's pray for those that need Jesus as their Lord and Savior and for those who need to come back to the Lord and receive from God again. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, say this out loud if you're praying this prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. I give you all of me. I give you my heart. I give you my life and everything that belongs to me. I repent of sin. I denounce Satan and all works of ungodliness. I am yours, Lord. Take all of me. Jesus, be my Lord and personal Savior. I confess Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I believe in my heart that Jesus came, he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, rose again as God raised him from the dead on the third day, and he's alive in heaven today. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me, Lord. I am saved. I am restored. I am back to God, and I'm close to God right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, the Lord changed your life, which he has, if you prayed that prayer sincerely and in truth, then you write to us at connect@twcc-sa.org, or you can text us. Send us a little text message at 210-941-3322 and let us know your spiritual experience. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time. We see you this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock on Facebook Live. Thanks for following us, and thanks for watching us. God bless you. Bye-bye.